Today on Real Radio.
Should a Christian say, I can't go to war because the Bible says you shall not kill? The Bible says you shall not murder. If you and I are called upon to go to war, God expects us to go to war.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. We're going to have a look at all 9 verses of chapter 20 today. This is where the God of Israel gave specific instructions to his people now that they had entered into the promised land. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a study called Our City of Refuge.
Joshua chapter 20, and we are so near the end of this book. We will take this morning chapter 20. And beginning at verse 1, there the scripture says, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills any person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be a refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city, and declares his case in the hearers of the elders of the city, they shall take him into the city as one of them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he has struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation of judgment, and until the death of the one who is the high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled. Verse 7, so they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem, in the mountains of Ephraim, Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah, and on the other side of the Jordan, that would be the eastern side, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness on the plain, from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead, and from the tribe of Gad, Golan in Bashan, from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger sojourning among them, that whoever killed any person accidentally might flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. Short chapter, little chapter. These were favorite cities of Israel. They became more and more favorite, listen carefully, as time went on, because as more and more blessing came to the nation, as it settled into the promised land, the population grew, and there was a greater chance of ill befalling someone as the population grew. And so God, knowing all these things, established the city of refuge. So this morning in your note-taking, you ought to jot down our city of refuge. Now, we don't go someday to some geographical, political place regarding our city of refuge. Our city of refuge is literally a person, and you know who that is, don't you? You know where I'm going. The one none other than Jesus Christ. He is our city of refuge. But way back during the time of Israel's settlement into the land, God had established these 6 cities. 3 on the west side of the Jordan, 3 on the east side, that wherever you might dwell, you may be within a day's journey of a city of refuge, should you unintentionally, without premeditation, accidentally kill someone, be it by work or by some sort of an accident. God made this provision. But why is this provision made? Seemingly, you would think that if it's done in an accident, why don't you just go to court and work it out and you know, the truth will be known. Well, God knowing all things and God knowing the temperament of the Middle East peoples, if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. They're so fun. They'll start talking to each other about how to get down the street to find the deli in their language, and you think they're about ready to kill one another. And it's like, oh my gosh, they're going to strangle each other. And all the guy's asking for is, what time is it? It's a funny thing, very passionate. Well, in that culture to this day, and it has been even at that time, obviously, when the children of Israel came into the promised land, that if somebody died unintentionally, that means if, as the book of Numbers points out to us, and Deuteronomy, that if you were, as it says there, chopping wood, and the axe head, the iron axe head flies off from the handle and strikes your neighbor in the head and kills him, it says there in the Bible that you shall run fast to the city of refuge, where there you meet up with the elders of the city that you might have a fair case. But why is that the situation? Why run at all? Why not just tell his family, it was a horrible accident. I killed my friend, your brother. You know, how many of us have sisters, young sisters, old sisters, doesn't matter. Those of us who are guys, we have sisters. And it's funny about sisters. It doesn't matter if they're old or young. Older or younger, I should say. It doesn't matter. If somebody messes with our sister, we're going to go get them. If somebody messes with our little brother, we're going to go get them. Now, let me ask you something. Those of us who would have little brothers, when they come tripping in the house crying with a big black eye, the older brothers, they don't go to the ice box and get ice and begin to heal him up, which is what he really needs at the moment. Do you know what the older brothers do? Well, we ask this question while we're running out the door. Who did this to you? Because immediately in our hearts is this thing of avenging. Now, don't tell me you don't have it. I've seen the most frail little grandmas have this intensity to avenge. Oh, I just want to give him his, you know. And of course, the Bible says that vengeance is mine, I shall repay. Now, I read the Bible carefully on that. I thought it would say, vengeance is mine, meaning me. I get to repay. I thought, what a great verse this is. I can take the Bible out on all my friends. That's not what it means. Vengeance is God's. He will do the repaying. But you and I have to admit, we often would like to get in there and straighten out the situation. Well, never is this more volatile and present than in the Middle East, even to this day. If somebody gets hurt, it's a rage. Hands are going, people are grabbing for knives and stones, and they're in a rage. And they're going to go get the one who perpetrated this thing against their friend or brother or sister. God, knowing this, says in Joshua chapter 20, I am going to establish cities of refuge so that when there's an accident, the people who live there can get a fair case. And so the scriptures tell us that, verse 1, as it was spoken to Moses, that's right, in the book of Numbers chapter 35 and Deuteronomy chapter 19, it was made clear that God would establish these places, that when they came into the promised land, this is what would be available to them for anyone who might sin. Listen, are you listening? Anyone who might sin unintentionally. Unintentionally. By killing his neighbor. You know, I hate to upset you, but let me just do it and get it over with so we can go on. You know, what does it say in Exodus chapter 20 regarding the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not, what? Kill. Did you know that's not what it says? What? Well, I know it says it in English, but God uses more technical language than English. In Hebrew, and even in the Greek, the scripture, the Ten Commandments is, you shall not kill. The word is, you shall not murder. See, well, is there a difference? Oh, my friend, there's a huge difference. In fact, that's what Joshua is talking about in Joshua chapter 20 here. Listen, killing is not premeditated. Killing does not fall under the category of premeditation. Let me explain. Killing, according to biblical teaching, is that God actually sanctions war. When you go to war, you are killing. Should a Christian say, I can't go to war because the Bible says you shall not kill? The Bible says you shall not murder. If you and I are called upon to go to war, God expects us to go to war. Well, what if I shoot the enemy? God knows this. He'll settle that. He'll work it out. back in the Vietnam era, there are a lot of people saying, sorry, I can't go to war. It's against my religion. I'm a Christian. Can't go. Well, you can't use Christianity as an excuse to not go to war. God has sanctioned killing. Does he like it? Of course not. Does he approve of it? No. But because mankind has fallen and nations war one against another, God sanctions war. God sanctions killing. It's not popular, but it's true. What God does not sanction is murder. Premeditated murder. God says in the Word that the man who commits murder, he will be what? Killed. Not murdered. A murderer is never murdered. A murderer is killed for the penalty of his crime. You've heard of the Hammurabi Code. The Code of Hammurabi. Well, it's also in the Bible, in the Old Testament. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. A judgment meet right for what was afflicted. And the scripture, the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible give specific details, so much so that our justice system of the United States of America used the Old Testament for the creation of our legal system, our judicial system, when it comes to fairness. Boy, have we fallen from grace. So God says in his word that if somebody unintentionally kills another, and in this case, the axe handle or the axe head flies off and hits your neighbor in the head, that that man can flee to a city of refuge that he might get a fair case, because God knew the volatility of the human heart, our human heart. And so God makes this warning. Very, very important that we see this thing, this city, this concept for our day regarding Jesus Christ. Very important. Now, Jesus said, if you look at a person with hatred for them, what are we guilty of according to God? Murder. Did you hear that? Jesus said, if you look at somebody and you hate them, God says, on your eternal credit tape that's running until you give your heart to Christ, which you should do today, so he crumples that up and throws it away. There, if you hate somebody, it's registered as murder. Remember, Jesus said, if you look at somebody lusting for them, you've committed adultery. Now, down here on earth, it doesn't matter. Oh, what you think, because it's what you think in your heart and your head, and it doesn't manifest itself. You could see somebody in the market and lust after them, and nobody knows the better, do they? But God does. So let me ask you, what really counts? Is it what your neighbors think or is it what God thinks? No, it's what God thinks. You can be sitting there looking so pious. You can be holding a Bible. You can be having a dirty thought right now in church. You arrest that thought, say, Lord, get that out of my mind. But nobody knows what you're thinking. Only God. In our minds, our hearts, we commit crimes. God says, that's what I'm concerned about. So watch this. Concerning murder or killing, when Jesus said, if you hate somebody, you've murdered them, the word literally is love less. You love them less than you should love them. See, you and I would take the word hate in English and say, well, you know, I really don't hate them. Well, would you wish them a happy day? No. Would you pick them up if they were broken down alongside the road? No. Would you feed them if they were hungry? Nope. Do you hate them? No, I don't hate them. Well, the definition is you love them less. Thus, now you and I are guilty according to God's view, which is the only view that counts. We're guilty. God makes the rules. I don't know how that sits with you. Sometimes it sits fine with me. Sometimes it doesn't sit so fine with me. But God makes the rules. You know what I have no tolerance for? Playing Monopoly with people who don't obey the rules. Now, I found out playing Monopoly that I'm half Jewish. So I'm very grateful for the game. I love the game. So don't come over to my house thinking we're going to do 1 hour of Monopoly. No, clear the table, get the Cokes and the pretzels. We're going for it, man, until I have all your money. What we can't stand is when someone says, well, you know, this is what we've always done, and when we play at my house, this is what the rules we use. Forget that. Pull out Milton Bradley. They're going to tell us right now what the rule is on this issue. So, who says? Who makes the rule? What's the absolute? Milton Bradley's the absolute. Milton Bradley says this is the way it's to be played. This is the way it's to be done. When somebody comes in to manipulate the rules, it doesn't count because it's stated clearly in black and white. So God looks at the human race, looks at you and I, and says, this is the standard. We can't massage that. It's written in stone. We can't play with it. We can't delete it. We can't somehow change it. The law is what it is because it is holy and just. And the Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And all of us, though we look quite fine this morning, are condemned to death unless we give our hearts to Christ and we pass from death and judgment to life in Christ. Very important. So you may say this morning, I'm not guilty of murder. Yet in reality, you and I are. Now, it says here in Scripture very, very clearly and very, very much in a tangible way, we're talking about a real event where a man is killed. It says, verse 3, that the slayer who kills any person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be, the city is, your refuge from the avenger of blood. So the moment this happens, this man dies, you take off running. How tragic. Your friend dies. Or he's your buddy. You were working with them. You're out there. Now you flee. And remember, throughout Israel, you actually positioned your home in an area not too far from the city of refuge by virtue of the fact that it's a type of insurance. Interesting to keep that in mind. You know, we have insurance today so that people would be blessed in the event of an accident or an incident. Well, this is that type of insurance back then. So you're to flee. So this man flees, and put yourself in his sandals. You're running. You're running to the city of refuge. Interesting, awesome thing. On the way to the city of refuge, it was law. It was Talmudic law of the Jews that the roadway had to be kept clear from obstacles. And if it were passed through a river, there would be bridges maintained to go over to the city of refuge. The path had to be clear. It had to be free of obstacles. You can go on this path. It had to be maintained. And in the Talmud, it speaks about at various points along the roadway to the city of refuge, there would be people there, officials, who would encourage you in your pursuit. That's something, isn't it? That's a lot of grace, don't you think? That's a lot of mercy. So we accidentally commit this crime. Now we're running to the city of refuge. We know what we've done. We would definitely say it was an accident if we had a chance. We would definitely say, I would never have expected or wanted this to happen if we just had the chance. So we are running. We're running and running. Maybe all of our life we're running. And God has been working behind the scenes, making the path straight and keeping it clear that you might someday run to a spiritual city of refuge, of course, which is Christ. But maybe you're here this morning and you've been running all your life. All of the situations of your life, God now speaks to you and says, you're guilty. But Lord, if I want to plead my case, you're guilty. The law condemns you. Thank God the Bible says the law came through Moses, but what? Grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ, our advocate, that is, our attorney. So we are running. And the moment we get to that city, by the way, again, there's signs even pointing the way. And the path as straight as possible. We come into that city and we get into the city gates. Now get this in your mind. The city gate, you know how we drive from city to city. And the only way that you know it is when it says, welcome to Chino Hills. Or welcome to Diamond Bar. Welcome to Yorba Linda. It has the marquee on the roadway. Well, the city gate was like a marquee, but it was the place of all civil activity. You know this already. Remember our study in the book of Ruth? Where did Boaz go to purchase the land and Ruth? To the city gate. Why? Because that's where all of the lawyers, scholars, and the city officials sit in the city gate. So it's a big deal. It's the most important place in the city. It's not just some little thing you drive by. Oh, look, we're entering the city. Oh, it's a big deal. This man who is guilty goes to the city gate and stands there and declares, I have shed innocent blood. I seek refuge. Unintentionally, I have killed a man. He now proclaims himself as the slayer. Now, that sounds horrible, I know. But in the biblical context, it's not the murderer. He is the slayer. He's the perpetrator, but it was done unintentionally. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you would go back and live life over again just to right certain wrongs that you did? Boy, as we get older, we say, no, I would never do that again. We learn. This man is saying, I'm the slayer, and I'm asking for justice. And so the city fathers would eventually assemble, and that there would be a hearing regarding the issue. But if the avenger showed up, now the avenger would be the older brother, or the father, or the son, whoever it might be, who has come now believing that they're going to pay a visit of justice, that he's going to take the life of the perpetrator, of the lawbreaker, of the slayer. And by doing so, he vindicates the name of the family and the blood that was spilled. You see, if this is not done, the land, the Bible says, is defiled by blood if justice is not served. But what kind of justice? Family justice or the justice of God? With the justice of God, there is mercy and grace. I would opt for the justice of God. And so it's proclaimed. It says, verse 4, and when he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case, makes a statement, or you can use the word confession, that it is there that the elders of the city shall take him into the city as one of them. He's innocent until proven guilty. And give him a place that he may dwell among them. So he's there. You're now there. If that's you, you're in there. What's to happen? Verse 5 says, when the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor unintentionally and did not hate him beforehand. You see? The man's guilty. Now watch. The Bible says that you and I, in fact, Peter said it. Peter said it in the book of Acts, chapter 2, I believe. When Peter spoke to Israel, he said, listen, all of you who are of the house of Israel, you have taken the Lord of glory. You took the Son of God, and you murdered him. You thought about it. You premeditated it. You murdered him. And then the next word Peter says, and it had to be God speaking through him. It wasn't Peter. He says, I know that you did this unknowingly.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study quite simply called Our City of Refuge. It's a look at Joshua chapter 9, where we're told about the God of Israel as he gave specific instructions to his people now that they had entered into the Promised Land. Our City of Refuge. It's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating look at this Old Testament historical book. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that Real Radio's Book of the Month for August is Charles Ryrie's Balancing the Christian Life. Now, each month, Pastor Jack personally selects a book that he thinks will be valuable in your spiritual growth as a believer. And this one really truly is one of those books. The title alone gives us a good idea what's inside the book, Balancing the Christian Life by Charles Ryrie. Visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click the button on the right that says Resource Center. And that's where you'll find the Real Radio Book of the Month, realradioactive.org. Or give us a phone call if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.